Blog Talk Radio.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I
quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. I had the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So was you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Good evening, and welcome to Runner for Christ Ministries Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. My name is Mackie, and I'm your teacher for the book of Leviticus. We thank God for each and every one of you who have tuned in, and we ask that you let someone else know about this Bible reading class. This evening, we will open with prayer, and following prayer, we will begin the Bible reading portion of this class. After that, we will open the phone lines for you to answer review questions or make comments. All you have to do is press 1 to enter the host queue. And you can find the review questions at rfcm.org. And please keep all background noise to zero if possible. Thanks. And let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to study your word. We ask now that the Holy Spirit illuminates your word to us so that we all can live it out in our everyday lives. Bless us all, O Lord, to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we will listen to chapter. See you on the other side.
Chapter 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons who died when they burned a different kind of fire than the Lord had commanded. The Lord said to Moses, "Warn your brother Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses. The penalty for intrusion is death, for the ark's cover the place of atonement is there, and I myself am present in the cloud over the atonement cover. When Aaron enters the sanctuary area, he must follow these instructions fully. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a whole burnt offering. Then he must wash his entire body and put on his linen tunic and the undergarments worn next to his body. He must tie the linen sash around his waist and put the linen turban on his head. These are his sacred garments. The people of Israel must then bring him two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a whole burnt offering. Aaron will present the bull as a sin offering to make atonement for himself and his family. Then he must bring the two male goats and present them to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. He is to cast sacred lots to determine which goat will be sacrificed to the Lord and which one will be the scapegoat. The goat chosen to be sacrificed to the Lord will be presented by Aaron as a sin offering. The goat chosen to be the scapegoat will be presented to the Lord alive. When it is sent away into the wilderness, it will make atonement for the people. Then Aaron will present the young bull as a sin offering for himself and his family. After he has slaughtered this bull for the sin offering, he will fill an incense burner with burning coals from the altar that stands before the Lord. Then, after filling both his hands with fragrant incense, he will carry the burner and incense behind the inner curtain. There, in the Lord's presence, he will put the incense on the burning coals so that a cloud of incense will rise over the ark's cover, the place of atonement that rests on the Ark of the Covenant. If he follows these instructions, he will not die. Then he must dip his finger into the blood of the bull and sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover, and then seven times against the front of the ark. Then Aaron must slaughter the goat as a sin offering for the people and bring its blood behind the inner curtain. There he will sprinkle the blood on the atonement cover and against the front of the ark, just as he did with the bull's blood. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place, and he will do the same for the entire tabernacle because of the defiling sin and rebellion of the Israelites. No one else is allowed inside the tabernacle while Aaron goes in to make atonement for the most holy place. No one may enter until he comes out again after making atonement for himself, his family, and all the Israelites. Then Aaron will go out to make atonement for the altar that stands before the Lord by smearing some of the blood from the bull and the goat on each of the altar's horns. Then he must dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle it seven times over the altar. In this way, he will cleanse it from Israel's defilement and return it to its former holiness. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tabernacle, and the altar, he must bring the living goat forward. He is to lay both of his hands on the goat's head and confess over it all the sins and rebellion of the Israelites. In this way, he will lay the people's sins on the head of the goat. Then he will send it out into the wilderness, led by a man chosen for this task. After the man sets it free in the wilderness, the goat will carry all the people's sins upon itself into a desolate land. As Aaron enters the tabernacle, he must take off the linen garments he wore when he entered the most holy place, and he must leave the garments there. Then he must bathe his entire body with water in a sacred place, put on his garments, and go out to sacrifice his own whole burnt offering and the whole burnt offering for the people. In this way, he will make atonement for himself and for the people. He must also burn all the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The man chosen to send the goat out into the wilderness as a scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe in water. Then he may return to the camp. The bull and goat given as sin offerings, whose blood Aaron brought into the most holy place to make atonement for Israel, will be carried outside the camp to be burned. This includes the animal's hides, the internal organs, and the dung. The man who does the burning must wash his clothes and bathe himself in water before returning to the camp. On the appointed day in early autumn, you must spend the day fasting and not do any work. This is a permanent law for you, and it applies to those who are Israelites by birth, as well as to the foreigners living among you. On this day, atonement will be made for you, and you will be cleansed from all your sins in the Lord's presence. It will be a Sabbath day of total rest, and you will spend the day in fasting. This is a permanent law for you. In future generations, the atonement ceremony will be performed by the anointed high priest who serves in place of his ancestor Aaron. He will put on the holy linen garments and make atonement for the most holy place, the tabernacle, the altar, the priests, and the entire community. This is a permanent law for you to make atonement for the Israelites once each year. Moses followed all these instructions that the Lord had given to him. Chapter 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons and all the Israelites these commands from the Lord. If any Israelite sacrifices a bull or a lamb or a goat anywhere inside or outside the camp, and does not bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle to present it as an offering to the Lord, that person will be guilty of a capital offense. Such a person has shed blood and must be cut off from the community. This rule will stop the Israelites from sacrificing animals in the open fields. It will cause them to bring their sacrifices to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle so he can present them to the Lord as peace offerings. That way the priest will be able to sprinkle the blood and burn the fat on the Lord's altar at the entrance of the tabernacle, and it will be very pleasing to the Lord. The people must no longer be unfaithful to the Lord by offering sacrifices to evil spirits out in the fields. This is a permanent law for them to be kept generation after generation. Give them this command as well, which applies both to Israelites and to the foreigners living among you. If you offer a whole burnt offering or a sacrifice and do not bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle to offer it to the Lord, you will be cut off from the community. And I will turn against anyone, whether an Israelite or a foreigner living among you, who eats or drinks blood in any form. I will cut off such a person from the community, for the life of any creature is in its blood. I have given you the blood so you can make atonement for your sins. It is the blood, representing life, that brings you atonement. That is why I said to the Israelites, you and the foreigners who live among you must never eat or drink blood. And this command applies both to Israelites and to the foreigners living among you. If you go hunting and kill an animal or bird that is approved for eating, you must drain out the blood and cover it with earth. The life of every creature is in the blood. That is why I have told the people of Israel never to eat or drink it, for the life of any bird or animal is in the blood. So whoever eats or drinks blood must be cut off. And this command also applies both to Israelites and the foreigners living among you. If you eat from the carcass of an animal that died a natural death or was killed by a wild animal, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourselves in water. Then you will remain ceremonially unclean until evening. After that, you will be considered clean. But if you do not wash your clothes and bathe, you will be held responsible. Chapter 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say this to your people, the Israelites, I, the Lord, am your God. So do not act like the people in Egypt, where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan, where I am taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. You must obey all my regulations and be careful to keep my laws. For I, the Lord, am your God. If you obey my laws and regulations, you will find life through them. I am the Lord. You must never have sexual intercourse with a close relative, for I am the Lord. Do not violate your father by having sexual intercourse with your mother. She is your mother. You must never have intercourse with her. Do not have sexual intercourse with any of your father's wives, for this would violate your father. Do not have sexual intercourse with your sister or half-sister, whether she is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was brought up in the same family or somewhere else. Do not have sexual intercourse with your granddaughter, whether your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would violate you. Do not have sexual intercourse with the daughter of any of your father's wives. She is your half-sister. Do not have intercourse with your aunt, your father's sister, because she is your father's close relative. Do not have sexual intercourse with your aunt, your mother's sister, because she is your mother's close relative. And do not violate your uncle, your father's brother, by having sexual intercourse with his wife. She also is your aunt. Do not have sexual intercourse with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Do not have intercourse with your brother's wife. This would violate your brother. Do not have sexual intercourse with both a woman and her daughter, or marry both a woman and her granddaughter, whether her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are close relatives, and to do this would be a horrible wickedness. Do not marry a woman and her sister, because they will be rivals. But if your wife dies, then it is all right to marry her sister. Do not violate a woman by having sexual intercourse with her during her period of menstrual impurity. Do not defile yourself by having sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife. Do not give any of your children as a sacrifice to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not practice homosexuality. It is a detestable sin. A man must never defile himself by having sexual intercourse with an animal, and a woman must never present herself to a male animal in order to have intercourse with it. This is a terrible perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the people I am expelling from the promised land have defiled themselves. As a result, the entire land has become defiled. That is why I am punishing the people who live there, and the land will soon vomit them out. You must strictly obey all of my laws and regulations, and you must not do any of these detestable things. This applies both to you who are Israelites by birth and to the foreigners living among you. All these detestable activities are practiced by the people of the land where I am taking you, and the land has become defiled. Do not give the land a reason to vomit you out for defiling it, as it will vomit out the people who live there now. Whoever does any of these detestable things will be cut off from the community of Israel. So be careful to obey my laws, and do not practice any of these detestable activities. Do not defile yourselves by doing any of them, for I, the Lord, am your God. Chapter 19. The Lord also said to Moses, say this to the entire community of Israel. You must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must show respect for your mother and father, and you must always observe my Sabbath days of rest, for I, the Lord, am your God. Do not put your trust in idols or make gods of metal for yourselves. I, the Lord, am your God. When you sacrifice a peace offering to the Lord, offer it properly, so it will be accepted on your behalf. You must eat it on the same day you offer it, or on the next day at the latest. Any leftovers that remain until the third day must be burned. If any of the offering is eaten on the third day, it will be contaminated, and I will not accept it. If you eat it on the third day, you will answer for the sin of profaning what is holy to the Lord, and must be cut off from the community. When you harvest your crops, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall on the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners who live among you, for I, the Lord, am your God. Do not steal, do not cheat one another, do not lie. Do not use my name to swear a falsehood and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not cheat or rob anyone. Always pay your hired workers promptly. Show your fear of God by treating the deaf with respect and by not taking advantage of the blind. I am the Lord. Always judge your neighbors fairly, neither favoring the poor nor showing deference to the rich. Do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. Do not try to get ahead at the cost of your neighbor's life, for I am the Lord. Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront your neighbors directly so you will not be held guilty for their crimes. Never seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You must obey all my laws. Do not breed your cattle with other kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven from two different kinds of fabric. If a man has sexual intercourse with a slave girl who is committed to become someone else's wife, compensation must be paid. But since she had not been freed at the time, the couple will not be put to death. The man, however, must bring a ram as a guilt offering and present it to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will then make atonement for him before the Lord with the sacrificial ram of the guilt offering, and the man will be forgiven. When you enter the land and plant fruit trees, leave the fruit unharvested for the first 3 years and consider it forbidden. In the fourth year, the entire crop will be devoted to the Lord as an outburst of praise. Finally, in the fifth year, you may eat the fruit. In this way, its yield will be increased. I, the Lord, am your God. Never eat meat that has not been drained of its blood. Do not practice fortune-telling or witchcraft. Do not trim off the hair on your temples or clip the edges of your beards. Never cut your bodies in mourning for the dead or mark your skin with tattoos, for I am the Lord. Do not defile your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will be filled with promiscuity and detestable wickedness. Keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence toward my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. Do not rely on mediums and psychics, for you will be defiled by them. I, the Lord, am your God. Show your fear of God by standing up in the presence of elderly people and showing respect for the aged. I am the Lord. Do not exploit the foreigners who live in your land. They should be treated like everyone else, and you must love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or volume. Your scales and weights must be accurate. Your containers for measuring dry goods or liquids must be accurate. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You must be careful to obey all of my laws and regulations, for I am the Lord. Chapter 20. The Lord said to Moses, "Give the Israelites these instructions which apply to those who are Israelites by birth, as well as to the foreigners living among you. If any among them devote their children as burnt offerings to Molech, they must be stoned to death by people of the community. I myself will turn against them and cut them off from the community, because they have defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name by giving their children to Molech. And if the people of the community ignore this offering of children to Molech and refuse to execute the guilty parents, then I myself will turn against them and cut them off from the community, along with all those who commit prostitution by worshiping Molech. If any among the people are unfaithful by consulting and following mediums or psychics, I will turn against them and cut them off from the community. So set yourselves apart to be holy, for I, the Lord, am your God. Keep all my laws and obey them, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. All who curse their father or mother must be put to death. They are guilty of a capital offense. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, both the man and the woman must be put to death. If a man has intercourse with his father's wife, both the man and the woman must die, for they are guilty of a capital offense. If a man has intercourse with his daughter-in-law, both must be put to death. They have acted contrary to nature and are guilty of a capital offense. The penalty for homosexual acts is death to both parties. They have committed a detestable act and are guilty of a capital offense. If a man has intercourse with both a woman and her mother, such an act is terribly wicked. All three of them must be burned to death to wipe out such wickedness from among you. If a man has sexual intercourse with an animal, he must be put to death and the animal must be killed. If a woman approaches a male animal to have intercourse with it, she and the animal must both be put to death. Both must die, for they are guilty of a capital offense. If a man has sexual intercourse with his sister, the daughter of either his father or his mother, it is a terrible disgrace. Both of them must be publicly cut off from the community. Since the man has had intercourse with his sister, he will suffer the consequences of his guilt. If a man has intercourse with a woman suffering from a hemorrhage, both of them must be cut off from the community, because he exposed the source of her flow, and she allowed him to do it. If a man has sexual intercourse with his aunt, whether his mother's sister or his father's sister, he has violated a close relative. both parties are guilty of a capital offense. If a man has intercourse with his uncle's wife, he has violated his uncle. Both the man and woman involved are guilty of a capital offense and will die childless. If a man marries his brother's wife, it is an act of impurity. He has violated his brother, and the guilty couple will remain childless. You must carefully obey all my laws and regulations, otherwise the land to which I am bringing you will vomit you out. Do not live by the customs of the people whom I will expel before you. It is because they do these terrible things that I detest them so much. But I have promised that you will inherit their land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I, the Lord, am your God, who has set you apart from all other people. You must therefore make a distinction between ceremonially clean and unclean animals, and between clean and unclean birds. You must not defile yourselves by eating any animal or bird or creeping creature that I have forbidden. You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from all other people to be my very own. Men and women among you who act as mediums or psychics must be put to death by stoning. They are guilty of a capital offense.
All right, that concludes the Bible reading portion, and now we'll move into the questions. Our first question, why did Moses warn Aaron?
Chapter 16, 1 to 3?
Yes.
I'm sorry, 1 and 2. Well, I think I... And it reads, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, who died after they entered the Lord's presence and burned the wrong kind of fire before him. The Lord said to Moses, warn your brother Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses. If he does, he will die. For the ark cover, the place of atonement, is there, and I myself am present in the cloud above the atonement cover.
Thank you. Okay. Question number two. What did Aaron do with the first goat?
That's 16.
Oh, 16:9.
16:9. Does anyone have anything else?
I got
16:9.
And I've got 16, chapter 16, 15, and 16.
Oh, okay.
I had that one also. I had both of them.
Oliver.
Oh, yeah, Oliver's sure brother. Is. He is, right. I see it.
May I have your permission to read that?
Would you please, sir?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm. He is, sir.
Okay. Then Aaron must slaughter the first goat as a sin offering for the people and carry its blood behind the inner curtain. There he will sprinkle the goat's blood over the atonement cover and in front of it, just as he did with the bull's blood. Though this process he will purify the most holy place, and he will do the same for the entire tabernacle because of the defiling sin and rebellion of the Israelites. Amen.
Yes, thank you. Question number three. When will the Israelites and foreigners be purified in the Lord's presence?
I have 16, 29 through 30.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can I read? Okay. On the 10th day of the appointed month in early autumn, you must deny yourself. Neither native-born Israelites nor foreigners living among you may do any kind of work. This is a permanent law for you. On that day, offerings of purification will be made for you, and you will be purified in the Lord's presence from all your sins. It will be the Sabbath day. Okay, I think 29 and 30.
Yep.
You got it.
Can I hear a TV in the background? I'm picking up TV and noises and things. Check your background. If you got stuff going on, just mute your phone and unmute it when you want to answer. That way we don't have to hear all that.
It's not me this time.
Okay, Eric. It ain't us.
Okay. Sounds like
it's
wet.
It's gone. Uh-oh.
All right. Question number four. What action was considered making offerings to goat idols?
17 and 7. The people must no longer be unfaithful to the Lord by offering sacrifices to the goat idols.
Yep, I included, I had
finishing
3 through 7.
Okay.
Nope,
I had
no,
3
I
through
had
7 as well.
3 through 7.
3-7, yes.
Yep, that's what
I heard. Says this is a permanent law for them to be observed from generation to generation.
Okay. Yep, now if you start at 3, it gives a little more detail. I'll read it. I'll read 3 through 6. If any native Israelite sacrifices a bull or a lamb or a goat anywhere inside or outside the camp, instead of bringing it to the entrance of the tabernacle to present it as an offering to the Lord, that person will be as guilty as a murderer. Such a person has shed blood and will be cut off from the community. The purpose of this rule is to stop the Israelites from sacrificing animals in the open fields. It will ensure that they bring their sacrifices to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle so he can present them to the Lord as peace offerings. Then the priest will be able to splatter the blood against the Lord's altar at the entrance of the tabernacle, and he will burn the fat as a pleasing aroma to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Okay. Question number 5. Why would the Lord turn against a person and cut them off from the community?
I had 8 through 10. And it reads, give them this command as well. If any native Israelite or foreigner living among you offers a burnt offering or a sacrifice, but does not bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle to offer to the Lord, that person will be cut off from the community. And if any native Israelite or foreigner living among you eats or drinks blood in any form, I will turn against that person and cut them off from the community of your people.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Thank you. Number 6. Is it okay to eat the meat of an animal that died naturally or was torn up by wild animals?
That's 16.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
All right, Eric. 17, 16 says, and if any native-born Israelite or foreign eat the meat of an animal, clothes and save them. Wait a minute. Leviticus 17, 15, and 16. So 17, 15 says, and if any native born Israel or foreigner eats the meat of an animal that died naturally or was torn up by wild animals. They must wash their clothes and bathe themselves in water. They will remain ceremonial unclean until evening, but then they will be clean. But if they do not wash their clothes and bathe themselves, they will be punished for their sins.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. All right. Seven. Are the Israelites supposed to adapt to the ways of the people they live around?
18, 1 through 5, I have.
Yep. Yeah. I have.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Read, please, sir.
And the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions of the people of Israel. I am the Lord your God, so do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan, or where I am taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. You must obey all my regulations and be careful to obey my decree, for I am the Lord your God. If you obey my decrees and my regulations, you will find life through them. I am the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Number 8. What is considered a perverse act?
Verse
18:23.
Yes.
Ed, mother.
Man must not defile himself by having sex with an animal, and a woman must not offer herself to a male animal to have intercourse with it. This is a perverse act.
Thank you.
Man.
All right. Number 9. What would happen if the Israelites commit one of these detestable acts?
I have 18:27-30.
That is correct.
All these detestable activities are practiced by the people of the land where I am taking you, and this is how the land has become defiled. So do not defile the land and give it a reason to vomit you out, as it will vomit out the people who live there now. Whoever commits any of these detestable sins will be cut off from the community of Israel. So obey my instructions. You do not defile yourselves by committing any of these detestable practices that were committed by the people who lived in the land before you. I am the Lord your God.
Yes, thank you. Number 10. Does it matter how a peace offering is sacrificed?
That's number 19:5-8, which says, when you to the Lord, offer it properly so you will be accepted by God. The sacrifice must be eaten on the same day you offer it or on the next day. Whatever is left over until the third day must be completely burned up. If any of the sacrifice is eaten on the third day, it will be contaminated. It will not accept it, and I would not accept it. Anyone who eats it on the third day will be punished for defiling what is holy to the Lord and will be cut off from the community.
Yes. Number 11. Is it okay to not address a relative about an issue?
I got 19:7. 19:17, and it states,
yes,
not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sins.
Yes. Number 12. Should the Israelites treat the foreigners among them differently?
Number 19, chapter 19, verse 33 and 34.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brother E.
Do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Have I got that right? Yeah, right. That's it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, number 13. What will happen if a child is offered to Molech?
I have 20, 1 through 3.
Right.
It says, the Lord said to Moses, give the people of Israel these instructions, which apply both to native Israelites and to the foreigners living in Israel. If any of them offer their children as a sacrifice to Molech, they must be put to death. The people of the community must stone them to death. I myself will turn against them and cut them off from the community because they have defiled my sanctuary and brought shame upon my holy name by offering their children to Molech.
All right. Thank you. Number 14, for what reason must a man and a woman be burned to death?
That's 2014.
Yep. That's correct. Yes, ma'am.
If a man marries both a woman and her mother, he has committed a wicked act. The man and both women must be burned to death to wipe out such wickedness from among you. Amen.
Right, thank you. Amen. And number 15, what must the Israelites do to possess the land of milk and honey?
Chapter 20, 24.
Yes, I started at 22. 22,
yeah,
22.
24.
Yes, ma'am.
You must keep all my decrees and regulations by putting them into practice. Otherwise, the land to which I am bringing you as your new home will vomit you out. Do not live according to the customs of the people I am driving out before you. It is because they do these shameful things that I detest them. But I have promised you, you will possess their land because I will give it to you as your possession, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has set you apart from all other people.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Mother.
Welcome.
All right. Well, we finished the questions kind of fast. Do we have any other comments or anything or something the pastor might be able to address for us?
No, that chapter was, I mean, those few chapters was quite just self-explanatory.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
But as you're going through, like, chapter 20, and I think there's another chapter about everybody's preference of sexuality. And you have to admit that way back then, it still goes on today. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, Pastor, you got anything you want to add real quick?
No, I'm good. Just one thing I want to remind everybody as we're going through the Old Testament. When you hear the Lord says this is a permanent law for you, remember the age of law, the dispensation of law. It was for Israel, and that dispensation went away when Jesus came. When Jesus was on the cross, sacrifice, the age of law and all of this that we're reading now went away, and Jesus became a replacement for all of that. What the law could not do, Jesus did. Okay, and God gave them a lot of the things over there in chapters 18 and chapter 20. In chapter 18, he said, this is what you're not supposed to do. In chapter 20, this is the punishment for people who do these things. And notice that it did not say that a homosexual could not be saved. But what it did say is those who practice. Wherever you read it in the Bible, it says practice. Those who practice these things, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It'll use that phrase, inherit the kingdom of God. What that's talking about is, it does not mean that you cannot be a Christian if you're gay. What it means is the practice of the lifestyle. You're a thief. Peter says, if you're a thief, stop stealing and learn to work an honest job with your own hands so you can earn income to not only take care of yourself, but to help those in need. So what he's talking about is a practice lifestyle. How do you know if you're practicing a lifestyle? You no longer ask God to forgive you. And in fact, you become like some Christians today who say it's okay to be gay. And I don't have to 1 John 1:9 that. That's when you get into practice. What that means is you cut yourself off from the benefits of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, stuff gets added. Well, stuff don't get added. Why? Because you and God are on different pages. The prodigal son could not avail himself of any of the things that was in his father's house as long as he was outside the will of his father and his house. It's just that simple. The lost sheep couldn't avail itself of anything the shepherd had to offer as long as it was straight away. It was on its own. The lost coin couldn't be a part of a collection because it was lost by itself. So what the Lord is saying is, he is not saying thieves can't be saved, liars can't be saved, adulterers can't be saved, but people who say, that's not wrong, and I'm going to live this way. Well, that's what Satan did in heaven. That's what Adam and Eve did in the garden, and we know God kicked Satan out of heaven and his bunch, and he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. Adam and Eve repented, turned back toward God. God turned back toward them. They made it up, and you know God taught them how to do some of everything, right? So that's what it's talking about, it's because some of us, you know, we're involved in that kind of stuff or have been, might be struggling with it now. But when we get to the place where we start saying that I don't have to confess this, this is not a sin, in the Episcopal Church is split. They just got out of court. The part of the church that said we don't believe it's okay to be gay and you can't have openly gay bishops, they went to court to fight for the churches and the land that they owned, because they wanted to separate from the ones who, as far as they were concerned, went left of what God said and says it's okay to practice the gay lifestyle without any punishment from God. That's a lie from Satan. Old Testament says it, New Testament says it, and God does not change. What God changes is us. When he finds us and we start reading the Bible and we say, oh, wow, that's wrong. Then we turn to God and say, Lord, I'm wrong. Help me. And no matter how long it takes, God will work with you. Some people get out of stuff real quick. Some people not so quick. I used to work on my car and some dirt would come off real easy. But then if I had to change my transmission or if I had to deal with that rear end oil or oil period, that stuff is harder, much harder to come off than just, you know, surface dust. So we'll have some things that we do that we 15 times a month we have to ask God to forgive us, sometimes a day. But as long as we keep asking God to forgive us, he will. He has promised to do that. But then know this, sin has consequences. Now, the consequences with us is, again, It's up to God how severe they're going to be, because Hebrews 12 clearly tells us God is the one doing the straightening out. So he's only going to do what he knows, not believes, like our parents believe certain things would help us out, but they were doing the best they could. But God actually knows exactly how to chastise us to make us better. He knows how to make all things work together for our good. Our parents did the best they could, but God knows how. So remember that part. Sin has definite consequences, as Peter. You clown on Jesus, you're going swimming. Now, you can 1 John 1:9 that clowning, and Jesus will come over there and save you, pick you up and carry you to safety and teach you. He asked Peter, why did you doubt? He wanted Peter to know, this is why you sank, because you doubted. So the problem, number one, with the Old Testament is don't get to believing you got to live like that. That was given, God says over and over, this is for you, this is for you. It's for those who are living under the age or in the dispensation of law. We are under the age of grace. So Romans 8 speaks to us loudly. It says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Okay? But again, even there, we don't inherit if we live by the flesh. In other words, you just don't get the benefits of God going opposite of God. That's literally all it's saying. But the main thing is, don't start trying to become an Israelite and start living under the law, because sooner or later you're just going to wreck yourself. And, amen, you're going to depress yourself right out of Christianity. Live under grace. Acknowledge to the Lord you got these problems, and let the Lord work on it. Y'all know I had a problem with paying child support. Well, Jesus figured out a way for me to pay my child support. I had to learn how to do that. He sends me to 6 months in the Detroit House of Correction. He let me stay there for 8 days. I haven't had to go back since, so it worked. You know, chairman of the deacon board, I'm telling his story. I'm testifying for him. Amen. He had to do 90 days and 90 nights. Well, 90 nights. Jesus made it easy for him. He got out of jail in the daytime. He just had to stay at night. And right after that, March 2005, he came to Runner for Christ, hit the ground, ain't stopped running yet. Okay, but God got ways to, you know, he didn't have to go back either. So it worked. Amen. So God got a way. But the problem is, we don't want to start telling God, you know, I can sleep with animals. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We call that, what, bestiality? You know, I didn't know I couldn't sleep with my auntie. Really? You didn't know you could sleep with your mother? But remember, Paul had to deal with that in the church at Corinth. That boy was sleeping with his mother. As far as they were concerned, they were Gentiles. They didn't even know the law. So they're like, what's wrong with what I'm doing? Daddy cool with it. What's up? Paul like, that's detestable, stupid. But once they taught the boy over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, they brought him back into the church. So, again, they didn't kick him out of the church, excommunicate him because he was sleeping with his mother forever. They wanted to get that bad the stuff out of him. And then he came back on in. Like the prodigal son, he came to his senses and said, well, dude, you should have told me it was wrong to sleep with my mother. I wouldn't have done it. You know, I don't know how you could not know that was wrong, but in Corinth, everything was on. Even Paul was scared to stay there because Jesus had to show up and tell him, don't stop speaking. These people ain't going to kill you, and I got many people in this place. And he went on and stayed for a year and a half. Other than that, he was going to be out because Corinth was off the hook. It was so horrible. People say you go there and get Corinthianized. So, amen. So anyway, don't become an Old Testament, New Testament saint, and don't if you got problems, acknowledge them to the Lord. He already know. He's waiting, just like a doctor waits for you to come and say, doctor, I'm sick. Don't go to the doctor and say, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Then why are you here? I just wanted to see how you was doing. No, go in there and tell the doctor, I am sick. Okay, I tell Jesus all the time, Jesus, or he'll come to me. and he'll show me something. And I confess it, and he goes to work on helping me to find my way to get the strength to stop. And you can get control over stuff, but that's about as good as it's going to get, and sometime that old stuff will pop up back again. Relapse, the remix. You'll be into the remix. So, but the thing is, don't become an Old Testament saint. and don't start telling God my wrong ain't wrong. I'm just tired of telling you it's wrong, Jesus. I ain't going to even ask forgiveness no more because I'm just going to keep on doing it. Well, if you can keep on doing it, you can keep on asking for forgiveness. But now let me tell you now, Jesus is going, he know how to get you to stop. He know how to get you to stop, so you might just want to be like that little lamb when he found him, jump on his shoulders and go on home. Or be like that coin, get back with the collection, or get like that prodigal son, come to your own senses before it get worse, and just come on back home. But again, all of that is called discipling. That's growing up. That's maturing as a Christian. But they was into some wild stuff. See, we think we're off the chain today. Them people was. In order for God to tell them not to do that, that means the people in the land where they're going is doing that. They're doing all that stuff we just read about, and we like to think we filthy McNasty today. Them people was off the hook. If it wasn't sleeping with your mother and your aunties and uncles and cousins, and if that wasn't enough, bring the animals over here. We're going to sleep with them too. Wait till we get further down in the Gibeonites. And watch what oh, Lord have mercy. They rape a lady all night long till they rape her literally to death. And then the man whose concubine she was takes her and cut her up into 12 pieces and sent her to each one of the tribes saying, look what the Gibeonites did. What's up with this? Did God teach us this? So they was kind of off the hook. I used to read Genesis. And I was like, so Jesus, we kind of like not that bad, huh? Because when you look at the stuff they did versus what we do today, we kind of tame. They didn't have a hook to even be on. They was just off. And can you imagine if God is telling Israel this, don't do this, don't do that, and you're looking at that stuff, well, who does that? Well, so you know it was happening. And God knows his people. Wait till they hook up with the Moabite girls and Balaam and Balak. Amen. But anyway, yeah. So don't become an Old Testament, New Testament saint. And don't become one of those who get so tired of sinning the same old sin, you start to say, well, this must be how Jesus wants me to live. No, it's not. If you have to be the thief on the cross and get right at the last 6 hours of your life, amen, from the sixth to the ninth hour, what is that, 3 hours or 6 hours? 6 hours, amen. If that's the best last few minutes, really, if you take that conversation and then the time Jesus lived after he made that statement to him, you know, it's way less than the length of time he was on that cross. The last few minutes of his life after railing on Jesus with the other thief before he got repentance, and Jesus forgave him. So if you have to struggle to the last day, and Jesus said about him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, John was at the foot of the cross. I don't know if he was in earshot of that. John was like, wait a minute. I just spent 3 years with you, and that thief is going to heaven first? But Jesus told him, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen? So, amen. Just be comfortable in your Christian skin, and if you got problems, don't people might not know. And don't share everything with people because they're not God. They can't help you. Then we can't help but gossip. They might think helping you is telling everybody in the hood what's going on with you. So make sure when you get to talking to somebody, that somebody is tight with the Lord. Other than that, Everybody be looking at you funny. You, I bet they know. Yeah, they know because they told. Pastor Bravo once told me, a secret is best kept. Once you tell one person, it's no longer a secret. I learned in sales that one person knows at least 250 people, and they proved it. That one person literally knows 250 people, and if you make one person mad, the potential is there for 250 people who like that person to turn against you. So imagine this: you got a church with 2,500 members, and you make 500 people mad, and each person knows 250 people. Your church is empty. I've seen it happen. I've seen a pastor make a certain group of people mad, and that took out a whole bunch of people. Just took out. I saw a pastor make a church mad. Half the church left with another pastor, and half stayed. So be careful. Be careful. Amen. But anyway, amen. I'm through.
Say, Pastor.
Yeah.
On the Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10, where it says that native Israelites and foreigners living among you must not eat or drink blood of any form. Now, how does the witnesses come up with the blood transfusion interpretation of that? Could you elaborate that for us?
Well, they look at it as blood from another person. This gets weird. Blood from another person, you can actually pick up their sins. And so they came to the conclusion that God gave you your blood, and your blood is not to be mixed with anybody else's blood. So even on pain of death, you cannot have a blood transfusion, because you will be transfusing your blood with somebody else's blood, and that makes you unholy.
Okay. But we all have sin, so how is that logical?
And blood, if my blood type matches your blood type, I guarantee you, your body will not say, hey, I don't even recognize these streams. This ain't where I'm supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? That blood,
right,
that
right.
Blood will just do, it'll do what blood does. It'll start flowing and making oxygen. That's what it'll do. But if you attach some sorely misguided theology to it, well, you know, theology is something else, man. The Catholics believe that the body and blood of Jesus is literally in the wafer alone. And if you take that wafer, it goes through transubstantiation and becomes the literal body and blood of Jesus. And they get this from John 6, where Jesus says, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have life in you. And if you don't, you don't. And so they came up with a doctrine, okay, the theology of excommunication. And it's connected to the mass, or in their Latin, dismissal. It's connected to that. If you cannot go and receive the mass, which is only an authorized person by the Pope can issue it, so the transubstantiation, the hocus corpus meum, the hocus pocus will work. If that person gives it to you, then it will work. So if they excommunicate you, that is cut you off from the mass, the Eucharist, the communion service, then you have no life in you. You've lost your salvation. So there's a lot of funny doctrines that pop up, or totally misguided theologies that people take scriptures, twist them, mangle them, step on them, press them down, and crunch them up. And then all of a sudden it says exactly what they want to say. For instance, the apostolics, they have this twisted theology that says if every person says gives evidence by speaking in tongues. That completely disagrees with what's written in the Bible. The Bible says in Corinthians, it goes through a whole litany of things that disprove that. Listen to what 1 Corinthians says real quick in regards to every person is going to speak in tongues. He says, down at the bottom around verse 29, are we all apostles? Of course, the answer is no. Are we all prophets? No. Are we all teachers? No. Do we all have the power to do miracles? No. Do we all have the gift of healing? No. Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? No. Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Okay, now he does say you can desire, but think of the gifts that help people. Think of the gifts that bring people closer to Christ or help them to mature in Christ. Then seek those gifts. It's all right to do miracles. It's all right to do healings, okay? But helping others, or do you have the gift of leadership? The gift of giving, these things help. The gift of miracles, God uses miracles to help people believe. Okay, that's it. It just like tongues is not a sign for believers, but for unbelievers. Okay, God uses these. To God, it's not a miracle; it's just God being God. But to us, it's supernatural. But God gets people's attention with that. Peter healed a man who was lame for 42 years, right? But it was the word that they believed. Paul saw a man who had faith to be healed in the cities of Lystra and Derbe and the Lycaonian cities, and he looked on him, saw he had faith to be healed, and healed him. It was what he preached that they believed and got saved, but it was the healings that made them listen. That's how he ended up on Mars Hill preaching to the Athenians, okay? The miracles captured their interest. But then he went up there and didn't do no miracles. He preached the word. Romans 10 and 17, consequently, faith comes by hearing. So people get all kinds of twisted doctrines. Our job is to ask these kinds of questions and then be able to answer them, because they're lost. They're lost. They believe these things. You might not believe this, but if you end up talking to these whack, different believing people about this, that, and the other, God sent them to you, because God expects you to see where they're like Jesus. He didn't go off on the Sadducees. He just simply told them, you are in error and you don't understand the scriptures. Here, let me tell you what it is about what you're talking about. In heaven, they don't even get married, nor are they given away to be married. They are as the angels. So that question they asked him was moot, because that don't even take place in heaven. And then he took from the books they were reading where God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is not the God of the dead, but the living. So what Jesus did was sought to clear up their misunderstanding. And that's what God wants. That's why he wants us to study, to show ourselves approved, to become workmen who don't need to be ashamed, but who can rightly divide the word of truth. Because when we hear error, listen to how Paul explains it. Look real quick. Jesus, what you doing? This is Maggie class. Go to 2 Corinthians, okay, 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Listen to what Paul says about how we fight. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. In other words, get mad and start knocking people out. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. This is where the devil has placed thoughts in people's minds, and they are captured by these thoughts. Okay? We knock down strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments like it's in the blood. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you've become fully obedient, we'll punish everyone who remains. He's talking to the Corinthians about that in verse 6. But you get the point. This is what God wants us to do, to see the nonsense, then see where they're lost, and then show them the right way. Now, will you win everybody? Did Jesus get the rich young ruler? Did Jesus win Judas? Okay, you ain't going to get everybody because we're free thinkers. God gave us freedom of choice. I know Republicans would love to just take choice from people, but God didn't take it from Adam and Eve, and neither did he take it from whacked out Cain. So we'll never be able to take choice from man and try to legislate righteousness. As you can see, God gave them plenty of legislation in the Old Testament. How did that work out? All this stuff he's telling them right now. Wait till we leave this mountain and get on the road. So bad theology, our job is to fix that. That's why we have to study this Bible forwards and backwards and forwards, and read it over and over and over and over until you can sit before the Lord one day and tell him the story from Adam to Revelation. And then after you do that, you probably won't have a problem reading the Bible over and over and over and over and over. And you're doing that so God can use you. When you don't take, Jesus, I see you finna turn left. When you don't take this study seriously enough to even do it, to do the questions or Thursday night class, you don't do those questions or read the material, then God, the Lord still loves you 100%. And again, that is not the question. The question is, do you love him enough to do what he wants you to do for him in this world? That's the question. It is not, does God love me? That's a fake way out of being responsible for what God has called us to do. That's just fake. Okay, and it don't work. It don't carry no water with the Lord because he ain't crazy. God knows he loves you 100% because long before you even thought about him, Jesus was here. Before you were born, Jesus had already come and died and got back up again and opened up salvation for you. Why get saved and say, I love the Lord, and don't do what he say? We can be saved, been saved for a long time, but is he really Lord yet? And that's what he wants to be. And now look, don't pressure yourself because that's a process too. You know how many times I had to join the same church before he came Lord over my church going. You know how many times I went drag racing before he came Lord over my Sundays. Okay, so it's a progressive thing. But, you know, it's up to you. But God wants to use you. And if God's not using you, it's because you won't prepare yourself to be used. Okay? You have to be prepared. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Jesus, Mackie, forgive me, Jesus doing this, okay? Listen to what Paul is saying. He has gotten into an argument with people who came to the Corinthian church, and they're trying to flip them from listening to Paul to start listening to them. And these are people who Paul raised up. But now they've turned on him and telling Corinthians, you shouldn't even listen to him. You should listen to us. We're super apostles. So Paul is into a type of debate with them. And he don't want to be, but because he wants to make a point to them, he's going to get into a kind of debate with them. I'm going to start at verse 21. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool. He knows he's being foolish about boasting. But his boasting has a point and a reason. There's a reason for it. I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and face death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. See, we didn't read about all of this. Once I was stoned. We read about that. They left him for dead. That man I told you that he healed, that had faith to be healed, it was over that he got stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. We know about one, chapter 27 in Acts. I spent a whole night and a day adrift in the sea. Anybody ever been through something like any of this? I've traveled on many long journeys. We know three missionary journeys. Faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry, thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without even enough clothing to keep me warm. This is the great Apostle Paul, y'all, wrote 13 books of the New Testament, and we don't think we ought to stub our toe and stay in relationship with Jesus. Then besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my concern, not for one church, but for all the churches. Who is weak and without feeling that weakness? Who is led astray? And I do not burn with anger. Now, this is Paul, but these are some of the things that we have to, amen. If we're going to serve God the way God wants us to serve us, these are the things that we need to be ready to face. Now, a lot of us, we love to claim this verse, but after what I just read you, amen. Listen, Paul says, I know how I'm in Philippians chapter 4. I'm at verse 10 now. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me, talking about the Philippians. I know you've always been concerned about me, but you didn't have a chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Now, we just read over there his resume. Right, all the stuff he'd been through. Now we see over here how he learned how to be content by going through all that stuff and God bringing him through all that stuff. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. If we're going to serve God the way God wants us to serve him, and if we're going to claim these verses like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or Luke 6:38, the Lord will give to you, pressed down, shaken together, and pour into your bosom. If you give, it'll be given to you in the same amount that you gave. Amen. So God wants us to serve him in this world before we come home to heaven. And if we're going to serve him, it might get a little tight. Amen. It might get a little like that. But I don't know that we'll ever go through any of the things he went through. Okay. But we might have to work 12 hours. We might have to. Amen. Go to Bible class. We might have to tell a family member about Jesus. We might have to have a coworker get mad at us because we won't play the game no more because we're Christian and Jesus don't want us to. And, amen. But those are the kind of things that we're mostly going to suffer, somebody not wanting to be around us. But God wants to use us, and if you're going to be used by him, then you're going to have to do like we're doing. You're going to have to make Bible study serious. Remember this. You don't need to please your pastor. You don't need to please the associate pastors or the assistant pastor or the deacons or the deaconesses or any of the executive board. You need to please Jesus. Jesus needs to know that. One time we was talking today about that because I cracked up. I cracked up on the inside because I couldn't crack up on the outside because they were standing right in front of me. But they were standing in front of me talking about a relationship they had with Jesus, and he's in my head talking about, I didn't know we was like that. When did we get to be? And this person is talking to me, and Jesus is in my head through the Holy Spirit saying these things to me. And I can, y'all know me, I'm silly and laugh a lot. But I cannot even look on my face like anything on the inside. So I had to control my emotions because they will betray you. Your emotions, you know how people, you'll get to laughing and people will say, I can't believe you laughing. This ain't funny. So I have to learn how to, we're body, soul, and spirit, right? Our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. So I have to control my mind to not allow my will to tell my emotions to laugh in these people's face. But Jesus is saying to me, I didn't know we was that close. I'm with them 168 hours a week. They'd be lucky if they spent 5 minutes with me. If we could love the Lord like we love our boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, food, whatever it is we love like we love it, we'd do it if they let us do it for free. Okay, we'd do it for free if they let us. If we could love Jesus like that, oh yeah, when we get to heaven, you won't even be able to see your mansion because it'll be covered up in rewards. Amen. God, if we didn't ask to come into this world, and we sure didn't ask to be threatened with going to hell, but now we're Christians. We become his. We just believed, and he saved us. And then he goes even further to say, you can lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. All you got to do is what I asked you to do. Now, Jesus might not ask you to do what Paul did, but he's still going to pay you like he paid Paul. Amen. Amen. So, amen. Did that answer your question, Ollie, about the blood? Okay, have I talked and everybody hung up?
No. It was very informative to me. No, Pastor, I heard that. I said, no,
yeah.
No. I thank
yes,
you very,
very informative.
Much.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so many fakes and everything, and things are so twisted. That's why our world is like it is right now.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's like Tony Evans said. Remember when we was reading Kingdom Agenda? And I think it was Janice who first showed it to us over at the church when we was watching them videos and he would come on and say so much. Well, he talked about, remember how he started out talking about relationships? Or he said he said that a man had cracks in his wall. He had cracks in his wall, so he called somebody to fix it. They fixed it. 2 weeks later, crack back. Then he called a man back. He fixed it again. 2 weeks later, crack back. And so he decides to call somebody else a little bit smarter and know a little bit more. He calls the person who knows a little bit more, and the person comes and look. He see the crack, and he look at it this way, he look at it that way, and he don't say nothing, and then he look at it again. And then he look at Dr. Tony Evans and tell him, I can't help you. Crack, you don't have a problem in your wall. And so Dr. Tony Evans looked at the wall. He saw the crack. He said, everybody saw the crack. The whole world knows the crack. What do you mean I don't have a problem? What do you mean you can't help me? He said, because the crack in the wall is not your problem. And so he went on to say, it's your foundation. And see, the world is trying to fix all these little cracks, but the foundation is the problem. If you go back to Genesis, God gives us the foundation for why he created life and why he created relationships, why he created single people and why he created relationships and why he created kids and why we're in this life. He gave us the foundation for it. And like Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Don't do what I say. If I'll show you who can call me Lord, Lord. This is a person who digs down deep until they find the rock. and then they build their house on it. That rock is his word. That house is our life for God on earth. Okay? And then when all of the troubles come, we still stand no matter what. But there's another person who just builds their house right on top of the sand. And, of course, when all of the troubles come, the house collapses. Okay? So we're supposed to build on the rock. Okay? And that gives you a solid foundation. It did not say husbands and wives wouldn't fuss. Didn't say single people wouldn't struggle with celibacy. Didn't say they wouldn't struggle with being lonely and wanting to wrap up in somebody's arm and kiss somebody's lips. Didn't say that, okay? Those are the winds. Those are the ways that beat against the house. But because the single house, because the married house with children is built on a rock, guess what? They still stand no matter how what the husband and wife go through, no matter what the single person go through, no matter how crazy the kids are, the house still stands. Why? Jesus gave the answer, because it's founded on a rock. So when the world starts building itself back on the word of God like America tried to start out, then we'll be okay. But as the way it's going now, it's all on sand, and that's why everything just falls apart. We're so brickheaded, we won't even wear a mask. We are just so disobedient, we won't wear a mask, and now COVID-19 is going again. Now, the Lord had me put this on Facebook, then he had me to erase it. Running for Christ, if you are invested, pay attention to your investments. If you are stock heavy, now this first round, my wife and I, we were stock heavy, and we took a hit, okay, but God blessed and it all came back. But this second round, we're preparing for that. In other words, we're still going to be in the stocks, okay, stocks that's in companies that's called essential. That way they don't close and your stock don't crash out. Okay? But then we're going to, and then we have another fund that's 47% bonds and 60-something percent stocks. We're going to switch that around and go 60% bonds and 40% stocks. If you have a money manager, somebody managing your stuff, you don't even have to worry about that. In order for them to make money, you got to make money, and they don't make money when you lose money, so you don't even have to worry about it. But if you're handling your own stuff, okay, then you need to get into that. You need to look at what you got, call them up, and ask them, where are you? What are you invested in? And if you don't have no bonds and we get shut down again in September, October, notice this, it's the Christmas season. That's, they call it Black Friday, because most companies operate in the red all the way up until Christmas and Thanksgiving, and they want to go black, get in the black at that time. But if we're shut down, if people can't go out and shop and spend and all of the other stuff that comes with holiday celebrations that require people to spend to celebrate it, okay, then they're going to once again tank. The market going to drop out of the 20s back to the teens, and that's going to be some losses. So look to your stocks and things and find out what's going on and prepare. Don't hoard food and things. If you're going to hoard something that won't wear out. Hoard money in the bank, okay? That way when stuff happens, you know, pay up your credit card, okay? Get those things together, and the Lord is just trying to get you together so when this thing hit, you won't be hit, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Mackey is cool as a cucumber. His phone done dropped twice, but if I didn't tell y'all that, y'all wouldn't even know. That boy is Cool Hand Luke, I'm telling you. he done dropped twice and handled like a champ. Back in the day, Mackie, when that used to happen to me, I used to, Sheila would tell you, I would be going straight crazy. But Jesus just taught me over time that, hey, just call back in. I used to get kicked out and dropped, and I was the host. And then I called back in one time, and it told me that since your show is in progress and we already have one host, we can't have two. I'm like, well, how's the show in progress? I'm the host, and you telling me I'm blocked out? I was blocked out. I had to do the rest of the show by opening up my mic on my phone. That's why I always use my phone as a monitor. Hey, you know, these things happen. Okay, so, Dr. Mackey?
Well, thank you for all that information, Pastor O. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this word you've given us, for what we've learned this evening, Father God. And I pray that we take it and apply it to our lives, and all that we are done is pleasing to you, Father God. I pray that the Holy Spirit guides us and that your will be done. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, everybody. Well, another awesome class. Amen. Amen. Another class. Yes. Okay, I'm trying to find this one tune so we can close, because you know I got to have something special. I like this song. It's by Pastor Canton Jones, and I love the words to it. It simply talks about, I want to do what you like. But anyway, this Wednesday we're going to be talking about angels, what they do and what they don't do. You know what I'm saying? People have a lot of funny ideas about angels, and they make up things. Like, our parents go to heaven and become angels and be looking over the banister, looking out for us. Or I hear people say, my buddy died last week, and I won this race for him, and I'm sure he's over in heaven helping me win. And, you know, all that stuff is not true. So we're going to nail down what the Bible literally says about angels, and not the stuff that people have made up. Angels do not have wings, okay, except for the ones that you never see. And they are called seraphim. And those were the ones in Isaiah that took the coal and put it on Isaiah's lips, so he would be able to work for the Lord, okay? And then there's cherubim. Those are the ones, if you remember, when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, they were the bouncers. You're not coming back up in here. You don't have no armband. Not welcome. Plus, I got these swinging 44s, and if you get hit, he can. Then there's Michael, and then there's Gabriel, the ones with names. So we're going to get into that on Thursday, the messengers and all of that and what that is. So this Wednesday at 6 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio, we're going to be talking about angels. Amen? God bless you.
Amen. Yes.
And God keep you.
Again, can I make a request?
Question.
Sorry, can I make a request? My cousin Lisa Folks is seriously ill again. She is in the hospital, and they feel that she has a positive to the COVID-19. So please be praying for her.
Lisa, been praying for her for a long time. She's been through quite a bit, you know, but
amen.
But she's still here.
Amen.
That's testimony. Any other prayer requests? Keep Doris in prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, don't forget about her.
I have one for my nephew. Has a daughter that mother's a Jehovah Witness, and the baby needed blood. And we finally talked her into giving the baby the blood, and the baby's doing okay now. But just pray for Ashley, because I don't know how she considers herself a witness. She don't even go to church.
But she did. Yeah, you know.
But anyway, the family talked her into, getting the baby a blood transfusion.
I used to want to be a Catholic, because I noticed that they never went to church. So I was like, I just become a Catholic. I ain't never got to go to church. I can go racing every Sunday or go give me a little wafer and I'm good and be out real quick. Go ahead, Father, lay the wafer on me. Here's a 20-20 twin. I'll see you later. They'd be cool with that. Okay, so all minds clear?
Yes,
sir.
Yes, it is.
All right, this tune is by Pastor Canton Jones, and it's simply entitled, I Want to Do What You Like. Amen.
Okay. I want to do what you like. 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 When you do what you like, I know it will be right, yeah. I want to do what you like. I want to do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I want to do what you like. I want to do what you like. I want to do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I want to do what you like. I just want to be pleasing you in all that I do. I just want to be you, don't get it confused. This ain't about me and my stuff and the way that I feel. It's all about God and the kingdom and doing his will. Me and the homies, we be in the block, telling the block by the rock. And all the lost hear the lesson. He took the curses, the blessings. Now pushing the presence and do what he say. He gon' take every single fate away. Put your trust in him every single day. You look to the heavens and say, I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna make you smile. I wanna be the one that make you laugh out loud. I want your will to be done. I wanna be the one that you be calling me son. I wanna spread your love. Take it to all of these honeys and all of these thugs. I want them to look to you. And just like you got me hooked, I want them hooked on you. So they get in the presence. They feel your essence. They feel so light. They wanna praise and worship you all night. They don't wanna leave, they don't wanna leave, they don't wanna leave. What is this that I am feeling? Feeling like my body's healing. You're making easy the things that were hard. Man, I am loving the presence of God. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like.
I hope you like that.